Recovery Radio, KMP3, 1000 Oaks.
Yes. You are listening to the Recovery Radio podcast on KMP3. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I will be your host. Glad you're here with me yet again. Not sure what you're doing, where you are, when you're listening, coming home from work, going to work, at home, making dinner. Curl up in a ball with headphones on. I don't know. But I'm certainly glad you're with me. And I got to kick things off by telling you how grateful I am to be sober. It's a gift. It's not a right. Not to me. It's a gift. My life was saved. When my life was saved, I started asking the people who were helping me why my life was saved. And I've shared it here before, but the guy who really showed me this message said that's the wrong question. It doesn't matter why your life was saved. Your job now is to live a life that was worth saving. That's your job. I was thinking about that this morning. I was at a meeting. It was a birthday meeting, an anniversary meeting, as they call them on the East Coast. The West Coast, their birthday meetings. And I don't know if that's true everywhere on the East Coast and the West Coast, but I'll be more specific. My meetings in California, we celebrate birthdays. When I lived in New York, they were anniversaries. Anyways, it was one of those meetings, and there was 6 anniversaries. And it was powerful. And I was thinking about one of the readings at this meeting was the 11-step prayer, and I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about, make me a channel of thy peace, where there's discord, I may bring harmony. I mean, how often during the day are you around discord? I'm around discord a lot. In this 11-step prayer, the St. Francis prayer, you know, make me a channel of your peace. Work through me. Asking you to work through me. So there's hatred, I may bring love. Where there's wrong, I may bring what's right, man. No, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. I mean, how often during the day in your life are you surrounded by what's wrong? Things that are you perceive to be wrong. And how often are you focusing on bringing the spirit of forgiveness? Or are you trying to correct everyone? I mean, these are the conversations I have with myself. I think I've shared it on here before. If you could just put the St. Francis prayer in front of me and say, this is what to work on for the rest of your life, that's enough. Where there are shadows, I may bring light. I mean, I'm around shadows. Doubt, error, all of it. We'll talk about that on another show. Maybe the next show. I don't know. But I was thinking about that this morning, sitting in the meeting when we read it. I was thinking about the enormous sense of duty I feel because of the fact that I do not have the desire to drink today. And that that I've received that gift. And I have it right now. So, you know, I have to start by talking about that because, you know, I'm having an incredible experience in Alcoholics Anonymous. That is not based on outside circumstances. Outside circumstances are a whole nother thing. Sometimes they're pleasant. Sometimes they feel wonderful. Sometimes they're really uncomfortable. Sometimes they're, you know, I live with a lot of unresolved issues, uncertainty. I mean, you know, it's life. And, I don't know. I feel great today. Great. So I wanted to finish talking about what we were talking about in the last episode, which was resentments. And there were a couple things. Talking about what do you know, resentment. First of all, how the big book says that resentment is the most common way that selfishness shows up in my life. To me, that's so wonderful. It's such great, useful information to know when I'm resentful, I am into self. This is explained really beautifully in the 24-Hour a Day book on May 3rd. And I think I'm going to read it. It goes a little something like this. It's the meditation for the day. I must overcome myself before I can truly forgive other people for injuries done to me. The self in me cannot forgive injuries. The very thought of wrongs means that myself is in the foreground. Since the self cannot forgive, I must overcome my selfishness. I must cease trying to forgive those who fretted and wronged me. It is a mistake for me even to think about these injuries. I must aim at overcoming myself in my daily life, and then I will find there is nothing in me that remembers injury, because the only thing injured, my selfishness, is gone. I printed this out many times over the years and have shared that with a lot of people, handed it to them, and I'm not used to people saying, wow, that's really profound and that's awesome. Usually there's no response. But to me, that's very profound, and it explains the process in the big book, in the four step, so clearly to me. You know, people are all over the place about their feelings about the 24-Hour a Day book. I happen to love it. There's things in it that are not, they can't be reconciled in the big book. But I love that book. I think there's a lot of great stuff in it. But, you know, the four steps doesn't say, you know, we forgive people. It says, get rid of self. That's the part of you that's holding on to this. thinking this is personal. And, anyways. So, I know when I am resentful that the part of me that is resentful is the part of me that I want to get rid of. It's like spotting the enemy. It's a manifestation of my selfishness, so. You know, and then the next thing to talk about, where we left off yesterday, really is, you know, these tools that were given to master these resentments. We write them on paper, and we, you know, describe briefly, according to the book, why we're mad, who we're mad at, why we're mad, what it affects. And then it says we're prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We are prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. Because, you know, before that it says the world and its people are often quite wrong to conclude that others are wrong is as far as most of us ever got. The book is saying the world's all fucked up, dude. People are wrong. People are going to wrong you. The world and its people are often quite wrong. No debating that. We've all been wronged. We're going to be wronged a whole bunch of times. I've been wronged a bunch of times. I've felt that way. As has everyone that I've ever known. And the book's saying, we get that. It doesn't matter. So people are wrong. Doesn't matter. We can't stay in this place where, you know, that's just as far as we go. We have to go further. So these tools, the first tool is, they ask us to use, is to make real that the people who wrong us are spiritually sick. I get into detail with this in the episode called When a Person Offends. I get into detail about how I go about applying these things in my own life. There's a couple stories on that episode that cover everything I have talked about in this episode and the last one very thoroughly. So I can share with you what it looks like, you know, in my practical experience with this. So then it says, you know, we made real these people are spiritually sick, just like us, spiritually sick. To me, I mean, where do my character defects come from? What does spiritually sick mean? I'm afraid. And everything that comes out of that. Self-seeking, insecure, competitive, envious, arrogant, self-pitying. I mean, you name it. It all comes from fear, I think. So the way I think about it is, you know, make real that everybody goes to this. It has to be okay. And then it says, we ask God. Save us from being angry. And then how can we be helpful to this person? And it says retaliation and argument are not helpful. As a matter of fact, it says that those things destroy our chance of being helpful. So those things are out. Okay? And then how can it be helpful? I mean, what does that mean? What does help? What does helpful mean? That's changed for me so dramatically. And constantly over the last 30 years. What it is to be helpful. My understanding of that is always evolving. What's really helpful? What is it? Where I'm going with this is sometimes it's helpful to do nothing. Sometimes it's helpful to just shut up. Sometimes it's helpful to go away. Sometimes it's helpful to bring them a cup of coffee. Sometimes it's helpful to bring them a flower. Sometimes it's helpful to ask questions. Sometimes it's helpful to... I mean, it's different all the time. But one thing it's not... One thing that being helpful is not... I don't think... is doing nothing and not even trying and not even giving a thought. A lot of people that I am friends with pray for someone that they're mad at. And that's great. Never worked for me. Too mad. And to me, that's, it always feels like me, like when I do that, I'm playing God. Pray for them. Pray for specific things for them. I don't know. But a lot of my friends swear by this, and it really helps them. But it never helped me. What has helped me is what I'm talking about, where I ask God to show me how I can be helpful. And if I can't be helpful, it says you can't always be helpful. It says that too in the book. If I can't be helpful, at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of everyone, even our enemies. And so, you know, again, I got into some details with this in that other episode, but I will say again that, you know, practicing that has changed my life. It's changed my life. It changed my life more than anything that I can point to. Talk about contrary action. You know, people say contrary action. Contrary action is, you know, when you're mad, when I'm mad, to pray about the loving thing to do, to get out of self when I'm mad and do something that is the opposite of what I want to do. That's really changed my life more than anything. And it is through the application of that tool that more or less I have always felt closest to my higher power, God as I understand God. So what do you do when you have a resentment? For me, a resentment is something that I feel repeatedly that is not going away. And these days for me, if I'm mad at something that happens on Monday, on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, it starts to really bother me that I'm still upset a couple days later. And if the normal methods don't quell the situation for me, then I will sit down and write, like I said, and I'll just do an inventory. But usually it doesn't go to that anymore. But what do you do when you're pissed off about something someone did? What do you do? These days, it's pretty easy for me to come to the conclusion in a deep and meaningful way in my heart that you know, love is personal. And loving act, I can take personally. I should take personally, because that's personal. But nothing else is personal. were lightning rods for people's selfishness and character defects. Anyone standing there is going to get it. I don't know if I've told this story before, but probably. I'll tell it again. Years ago, a bunch of us are standing out in front of a meeting, and I did tell this, I think, but somebody drove by and threw trash at the group of us, and this big discussion broke out about whether or not it was personal. You know, some people were saying it was personal. They were pointing the food at us, and they threw it at us, and they threw all that trash at us. So that's personal. And then I disagreed. My argument was that anyone standing there would have gotten trash done at him. Really had nothing to do with us. We were there. You know, another thing that I talked about yesterday was, you know, the difference between anger and resentment. And I wanted to talk about that a little more because I've had many conversations over the years with people who have a real hard time allowing themselves to ever be angry, to ever feel anger. And, you know, you might feel that way. I don't feel that way. I feel like the book does not say, you know, they use the words anger and resentment and grudge and grouch interchangeably, so it seems all like the same thing when it says we have to be free of anger. My understanding of the whole piece is not that the big book is saying you're never allowed to feel anger. My understanding, which I have adopted, which you're free to adopt or not, is that it's saying we couldn't harbor feelings of anger. We couldn't let them live in us and stay there because it would block us from the sunlight of the Spirit. But it implies all throughout the book that these will crop up. Says it in 10, says it in step 11. Continue to watch for these things. They will show up. So, anyways, I allow myself to feel angry. And I allow myself to express it. As a matter of fact, it's important to express it. Just, I used to let it come out sideways and I would just be an asshole. If I was mad, I would just dump it on everyone around me. But now I know people are having totally separate experiences from the experience that I'm having. Really simple to say, but I'm sure you get texts that are just, you know, start with a problem. No hello, no acknowledgement that you're a separate person having a separate experience, just blah. You ever get those? Do you send those? I say hi first. But it took me a long time to learn that. You should just dump on everyone with an earshot. I'm careful not to do that anymore. And in terms of expressing the anger, to the person that I'm mad at, that's a whole different thing. I'm trying to be real good at that too. No name calling. You know, there's a bunch of stuff on that. It's called fair fighting. Don't use words like always and never. Don't dump a bunch of stuff on someone at once. It really all just comes down to just thinking of someone else. Other people are having totally separate experiences. Sounds super simple to say, but it took me a long time to learn that. Everybody were just extensions of my needs, and that's it. So, anyway. Hope this helped someone. I'll be back soon. I am going to go try and live a life that was worth saving. And I hope you do the same. Good night.